Today's edition of the Capital Daily Podcast is brought to you by VIN. Find and buy a new car, and even test drive it, without once setting foot at a dealership. Visit vinauto.com for more details. If you're a fan of the Capital Daily Podcast and feel like you need to share the love, why not leave us a rating and feedback on your favourite podcast app? Whether you use Apple or Google Podcasts, Spotify or even iHeartRadio, be sure to leave us a rating and feedback to let us know your thoughts on the show. We'd really appreciate it. Hi, I'm Ben Waterworth and welcome to the Capital Daily Podcast for Friday, September 18th, 2020. Today on the podcast,
there's already been chatter about expanding it for next year. There's a couple of other people who live in that area who have big pieces of property who have said that they would like to either join in or expand into their garden. So we'll see where it takes us.
We chat to renowned glass artist Lisa Samphier about her involvement in the Art on the Bay event this weekend and the unique challenges she faces in getting to her studio to make her art. Art on the Bay exhibition and sale is set to take place tomorrow in North Saanich, with art lovers and buyers from Victoria and beyond expected to converge on the event. 10 different artist tents will be on showcase in a large garden setting and feature a variety of mediums from poetry to painting and everything else in between. Joining me to chat a little bit more about the event as well as her own work that will be on display tomorrow is award-winning Victoria blown glass artist Lisa Samphier. Lisa, pleasure to have you on the Capital Daily Podcast today. Welcome.
Thank you, Ben.
Now, tell us a little bit about Art on the Bay. What can people expect from this event over the weekend?
Art on the Bay is a culmination of 12 different artists. There will be 10 tents placed in an outside venue. It's a person's home and garden. And they'll be placed out there, spread out, so that people can walk through the garden and enjoy the different crafts.
And what sort of art, what sort of crafts are going to be on display in those tents?
So we have quite a variety. The owner of the place, Terry, is actually a quilter. And so she will have her quilts on display. We have a woodworker who does a lot of utilitarian kinds of objects. And a painter, quite a realist sort of painter. I haven't seen her work before, but I've seen a few images and it looks really, really quite beautiful. We have Daphne, who prints on fabric and makes, again, utilitarian objects, pillows, placemats, table runners, those kinds of things, with very West Coast kinds of imagery. Peggy and Joe are both warm glass artists. Peggy makes jewelry with dichroic glass, and Joe makes small bowls and really fanciful sculptural kinds of pieces.
Great.
We have Karen Lancey, who is a metal worker, and she uses found objects and creates her own creatures. And beautiful. I'm quite a fan of her work. My parents are both coming over from the mainland, and they're both potters. My dad builds by hand, and then my mom throws on the wheel. And Linda is a jeweler.
Yep.
And does silver jewelry primarily. And then I think Kathy Jefferson, who is another potter. And her work is quite different from my parents. She does salt glazes, so the results are quite different. But a lot of people will know her work.
Fantastic.
She's from the Cowichan Valley area. And then myself as a glassblower.
Which I just want to say, Lisa, I remember in high school in science, we did glass blowing, and I will say I am not a fan of science at all. Did not enjoy it, but probably one of the most enjoyable classes I ever did was glass blowing. It was a lot of fun. I mean, how you got into it? Did you do it one day in school and kind of took it on a little bit more? I mean, how do you get involved in glass blowing?
Yeah, it is a strange one because it's not readily available everywhere. I started with a fellow on Granville Island, and it started as a job working in the gallery and selling the work and eventually making earrings and jewelry with bits off the floor, which later I asked him to show me how to make the bits so that I could make jewelry. So I started off by making jewelry in glass and eventually it just sort of took over and has become my life of 35 years now of blowing glass and making my living at it.
Fantastic.
And it's an amazing material. It's fluid. It has life. It's different every time you approach it, and it's got some amazing qualities, which a lot of other materials don't have. So definitely fun to work with.
Which I can imagine then in an event like Art on the Bay, sort of really getting out there into the community and having people in this sort of close environment coming into these tents and seeing your work must be a special time, because it's a case where you can really explain your work. You can have conversations with people as they're viewing it. I mean, do you obviously enjoy doing events like this?
I love that part of the business. I mean, it is a business for me. I have had a gallery and business, Starfish Glassworks, here in Victoria years ago. And it was the biggest part that I missed about the business, was sort of the regular people who came in, the conversations we'd have, just sharing, the new pieces that you've made, getting a response to what's being made. And it's not always a monetary response. It's just even people's reactions to it. You know, it kind of gives you things to feed off and directions to go in and build some excitement about what you're doing. So, yeah.
Which I can imagine as an artist, because you are doing artwork for a variety of reasons. You're inspired by certain things. You do it in your style, but it's the people in those conversations that are interpreting things in different ways as well. And I can imagine that over your career, you have had some variety of different interpretations. You might have been trying to put out something, oh, this is what this means, but somebody's come in and said something and you go, wow, I never thought about it that way, and things along those lines.
Yeah, definitely. And then other times, and I've made a piece and somebody comes in and said, oh, that looks just like, so-and-so's work. And I go, totally. I mean, I'm a huge fan. It's what I've been looking at. That's who I'm, sort of emulating or working with, respectively. Anyway, yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting when it happens both ways, because it feeds you and in both ways.
And with such a diverse collection of art that's going to be on display at this event as well, from glass to jewelry to paintings and everything along those lines. I mean, it really does sound like art lovers of all kinds can basically come along and really have all their different palettes satisfied, essentially.
Yes, absolutely. And it's a really good group of artists. I did handpick them myself, so I'm a little bit biased about it.
Did you have to handpick your parents? You have to like go, hey, mom and dad, show me your work beforehand.
Well, actually, you know what? I didn't. It was Terry who asked if they could come. So they're the only ones that I didn't have any say in. But I'm happy to have them there. They make great work. They have a huge collector base here in Victoria. And our work always shows really well together. And I think you can see some of the influences between, how I was brought up and lived with and what was in my home and what I make now. So, I think it's going to be quite exciting. There's going to be good opportunity for shopping for your home and yourself. And also with Christmas coming, it's one of the last opportunities Indeed. For people to do a little shopping outside.
Yeah.
A lot of the craft markets and fairs have been canceled for Christmas. So this was kind of like the last weekend that we thought was still going to be viable with nice weather, that we could, as a group, still sort of present something to the public. So.
And is this the first time this has been held? Is this an annual event?
It is. This is the very first one.
Wow.
So... and there's already been chatter about expanding it for next year. There's a couple of other people who live in that area who have big pieces of property who have said that they would like to either join in and or expand into their garden. They're members of this group already. So we'll see where it takes us.
And has it been a challenge sort of getting things up and running in the times that we're living at the moment? And obviously you're going to have to follow things like social distancing and public health requirements and things like that. So, I mean, that has obviously been a bit of a challenge in setting it up.
Yeah, definitely. Those are things that we're considering. I have done two outdoor shows myself this season, and they both went really well. And that's why when Terry approached me, I said, sure, we can do another one. It's all pretty basic stuff, but there are definitely rules that we have to follow, and we have to, the protocols are in place. I just filled out the 9-page protocol papers for the health the health guidelines that are out there that we need.
Wow.
So, and it's just if anybody does come and check and wants to look at what we're doing, it's saying that we're a safe and clean environment. People can come in. We're respecting social distancing. We've asked people to bring masks. We are hand sanitizing everybody when they come in, so that as people are handling work, they're not passing, you know, anything on that way. We will also be keeping track of contact tracing numbers and emails and that sort of thing. So yeah, there's lots of little extra things, but you know, the last two that I've done, people were quite happy. Everybody's kind of used to it. So there's, they're happy that we're doing it for them as well. And they're all chatting in line and, you know, we haven't had, it's always been a really pleasant and fun experience. So
the new normal.
I'm expecting more of the same.
Yeah. The new normal we're just used to, right? Like it's kind of you expect it everywhere you go now. Which, I mean, I guess a time like this, particularly at the beginning when it's all very fresh, very new, a bit unusual, a lot of us having to stay at home, lock down, all those kind of fun things. For an artist, I can imagine it's kind of a good thing, isn't it? That you gives you more time to do your work, right?
We get a lot done. Yeah.
I can't imagine this has been a necessarily terrible time for you, Lisa.
Well, it's a different time for me because I do actually have to go elsewhere to blow the glass. I have a studio here, and so I start and finish my work here, but I actually physically blow the stuff in Vancouver. So for the first few months, I couldn't go blow glass. But being a creative being, I resorted back to printmaking, which is what I majored in at school.
Right.
So I was drawing again and making prints and you know, continuing to be creative, and that spills out and, you know, will come out in this work in some way. I just don't know how yet, but it's all interconnected. So, yeah.
And how many pieces do you have generally going at one point? Does it depend on the scale, the scope of maybe a piece you're doing at the time? Is glass blowing something where you can have multiple things going on at once, or do you like to just focus on one thing at a time?
I have several series. I've got two or three series I'm working on right now. So, yeah, I've got several plates and, you know, when I'm working with Marini and Kane and putting pattern into the glass and stuff, that's all, those are all little pieces that I have to chop up and cut and do layouts on steel plates before I can pick them up in the hot shop. So I usually have four or five of those plates going at one time. And maybe a theme or an idea or even a color palette or something like that. Yeah, I work in series, so yeah.
And is it something where inspiration will just strike you at weird points where you'll see something and go, hey, I can do something with that? Do you keep like a little notebook, something in your phone? How does it work that way?
Yes. Yes and yes. I have a very strange collection of photographs. You know, if people looking at my photographs might think they're a little bit weird. There's a lot of micro work that gets done looking up at close cellular level, you know, thinking of the Mesmerinis, patterns in nature, duplicating some of the color combinations or even the pattern, just, you know, depends what I'm working on, but.
And is it a constant where if you got your studio in Vancouver, do you leave the work there? Does it depend? You have to bring it back here to Victoria and you're constantly having to say to them at the ferry, like, hey, I've just got a car filled with giant pieces of glass. Is that okay?
Yeah. So I do all the layouts. I do all the cutting and the layouts and prepare all the bits of glass here in Victoria. And I package them all up and then I take them to Vancouver. I blow for 2 or 3 days. All of the work has to stay in a kiln for overnight. It's usually a 17-hour annealing cycle. So I don't get the glass until the next day. So I will stay until I can pick up the rest of my glass. I bring it home. And then out in my studio, I can finish the bottoms, grind the bottoms, the surface. Sometimes I'm belting or polishing or sandblasting, adding decoration, drawing on them, whatever.
Wow.
So all gets done in my studio.
Very interesting process. You must enjoy ferry rides and drives a little bit to be constantly back and forth between the two.
At this point, it is a long commute to work.
Yes.
It's an expensive commute to work. but what I try and do is I'll go over her and I'll work for 5 or 6 days in a row and do a concentrated period and then come back again. And then, you know, work in my studio, finish doing the finishing, but then setting up for the next visit. And I try and go over at least once a month. And it's been as long as 2 weeks and, you know, 8, 9 days, something like that.
Wow.
And fit in as much as I can. So
yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't think any of us will be complaining about a 20-minute drive into the city or something any time soon.
That's right, yeah. Yeah.
You get a little bit longer to get it there. Of course, Art on the Bay is happening tomorrow between 10 and 4pm at 1295 Tapping Road in North Saanich. More details can be found simply by Googling Art on the Bay, North Saanich. It's been a pleasure chatting to you here on the show today, Lisa. Best of luck on the weekend as well as with your art moving forward, and of course, best of luck with that epic commute too.
Great. Thanks so much, Ben.
Coming up, all the day's news, plus Fun Fact Friday returns next.
Vin is a groundbreaking car search app that is a powerful tool to compare prices across dealerships. It's a streamlined way to secure auto financing online and uses its innovative service to have cars delivered right to your home for a test drive. Vin hasn't just brought the auto market online, they've completely changed what it is to buy a car. But don't just take my word for it, take TJ's word for it. TJ said they found their perfect car, filled out all necessary paperwork, and booked their viewing time while sitting at their kitchen table. Or how about SW's word for it, who compliments Vin for their amazing service and highly recommends them due to their best price and quality of their cars. Join real customers TJ and SW right now by visiting vinauto.com.
To the day's news now, and yesterday morning, Victoria Police evacuated, searched and cleared the Quandra Warehouse School and instructed Quandra Elementary School and nearby businesses to stay indoors after a man with a firearm was reported in the area. At 9:44am, the police issued a statement on Twitter asking people to avoid the 2500 block of Quandra Street. The alert read, "Officers are responding to an emergent incident in the area near Quandra Elementary School. There is an unconfirmed report of a man with a firearm. The school is in lockdown." By 10:09am, officers issued an update indicating that a person of interest was in custody and that they had recovered a replica firearm and would soon be reopening the school. The replica gun was found in a nearby car. The car's owner later confirmed he had been showing the replica weapon to a workmate. In a further press release, the police said officers respond to all firearms as though they are real functional weapons until they can be otherwise determined to be replicas. Those who use and possess replica firearms are urged to exercise caution in transporting them. Premier John Horgan and the BC Ministry of Forests announced on Thursday that BC firefighters will be deployed to Redmond, Oregon to beat back the blazes that have devastated the state and overwhelmed Vancouver Island and the Lower Mainland with dangerous amounts of smoke. The statement from the province indicated that BC had been working with Washington State and Oregon to possibly send 200 additional firefighters and personnel in the coming days and weeks. The effort to battle the unprecedented fires is complicated by the COVID-19 pandemic. In an effort to prevent the spread of the virus, the BC firefighters will conduct their operations separate from their American counterparts. The Ministry of Forest reassured that BC firefighters and staff will be taking extraordinary precautions to safeguard the health of everyone participating in this deployment, both during their time in the US and on their return to Canada. Victoria City Councillor Shamarke Debeau has placed as one of the National Top 25 Immigrant Award winners. The awards celebrate immigrants to Canada who have had significant impacts on the past 3 years, and finalists are chosen from a shortlist by a popular vote open to any Canadian resident. Debeau was born in Somalia and at age 8 fled with his sister and was a refugee for 20 years until immigrating to Canada in 2010 and to Victoria in 2012. On the island, he worked with refugee and human rights organisations before being municipally elected in October 2018, becoming the first black councillor in Victoria in over 150 years since Mifflin Gibbs' term. Debeau is one of 4 BC winners and the only one from outside Vancouver. The Lung Cancer Early Screening Program, launched earlier this week in BC, is a first for any province in Canada, the BC government said. The program is expected to conduct its first scans in 2022 and give British Columbians more treatment options and better outcomes. Minister of Health Adrian Dix said that around 3,300 people in BC will be diagnosed with lung cancer this year, adding that early detection through the new program is expected to dramatically improve survival rates. The program is aimed at adults aged 55 to 74 who smoke or have a history of heavy smoking. The program is expected to diagnose about 300 people each year. BC Cancer's Dr. Kim Chi said that the institution's clinicians and scientists have been at work for years to bring the program to its current stage. And a tiny piece of prehistoric fish mouth uncovered by an amateur souk fossil hunter has been used to confirm the existence of a previously unknown species of extinct fish. Canadotus santoki is a chimeridae, a category of fish that includes the modern ratfish and rabbitfish. Named for its discoverer, Steve Suntok, the fish was found 6 years ago near Souk's Muir Creek, and the new species was confirmed this month in the Journal of Vertebrate Paleontology. The fish that yielded the fossil is estimated to have lived 25 million years ago, more than 19 million years before humans emerged as a distinct species. It is also the first of its category found in Canada. With modern chimeridae mostly found in tropical waters, Canadotus santoki is a relic of a much warmer climatological conditions that exist in prehistoric British Columbia. And finally, today it's your favourite day of the week, Friday. And that, of course, means it's time for your favourite segment, Fun Fact Friday. This week, brought to you by...
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, now go, cat, go.
Elvis Presley, because I have a very interesting fact about the King that may surprise you. Did you know that Elvis actually only ever won 3 Grammys? That's right, only 3. The King of Rock and Roll had 18 number one hits in the US in his career, but only won 3 from his 14 Grammy nominations. Now, those 3 awards, if you're wondering, were for Best Sacred Performance in 1967 for How Great Thou Art, Best Inspirational Performance in 1972, his recording of He Touched Me, and Best Inspirational Performance in 1974 for another recording of How Great Thou Art. Now, it should really be pointed out, however, that the Grammys only began in 1958, and Elvis, of course, started in 1956, and the Grammys were famously slow to acknowledge rock music in their main awards. And for those wondering at home as well, who has actually won the most ever Grammys in history, it's not Michael Jackson, it's not Beyonce, it's nobody like that. It's George Solti, the longtime leader of the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, nominated 74 times in his career for a Grammy. He's won 31 Grammy Awards. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. But I want to leave you actually with a bit of a sad fact, funnily enough, that Taylor Swift has won triple the amount of Grammys that Elvis has. Now, that is a terrible fact that I have left you on to end the week on. I apologize, listeners. And on that somewhat sad note, it's time to get a little bit more sadder as I end the Capital Daily Podcast for Friday, September 18th, 2020, as well as the week. I'm going to better choose my facts next week so I don't leave you on a bit of a sad fact for the Friday that you do tune into this. But I will actually end right now on a bit of a lighter, a bit of a better note for you to tune in on Monday to the Capital Daily Podcast. We have a very special treat for you. We are speaking to iconic singer Randy Bachman and his son Tao ahead of their Bachman & Bachman show in Victoria next week. A big interview to kick off your week next week, so stay tuned for that. It's dropping on Monday on the Capital Daily Podcast. My name is Ben Waterworth, and as they say in Australia, Arvo means afternoon. Just wanted to clarify that for somebody out there so they don't need to Google it next time when I send it to them in a text message. Thanks for tuning in. Have a safe and enjoyable weekend, and I will speak to you on Monday. Today's edition of the Capital Daily Podcast is brought to you by Vin. Find and buy a new car, and even test drive it, without once setting foot at a dealership. Visit vinauto.com for more details. If you're a fan of the Capital Daily Podcast and feel like you need to share the love, why not leave us a rating and feedback on your favourite podcast app? Whether you use Apple or Google Podcasts, Spotify, or even iHeartRadio, be sure to leave us a rating and feedback to let us know your thoughts on the show. We'd really appreciate it.